This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Things can happen because if they do that, if they succeed in, you know, pushing off this effort to fix what's wrong with it, because a lot of people think it is still Obamacare essentially,
yeah,
and that it has different measures that are hopefully going to make it, the bottom line, better, and maybe make premiums go down over time. You know, so I mean, what do you think is actually going to happen?
I think the Republicans need to step back and take a different approach. And I'm kind of the contrarian because I don't think the Republicans have it right yet. And here's why. Healthcare is not going to get less expensive. We've got to just suck it up and accept the fact that because technology is so dramatically different. 50 years ago, medicine was house calls. It was you got penicillin and aspirin. They were still using ether in the operating rooms, and that was about the extent of anesthesia. Today, we have tomography. We have MRI. We have CAT scans. We have extraordinary nuclear medicine. We have procedures that were unthinkable 50 years ago, but they're very expensive. Everybody wants them. Everybody will feel like that I need to be able to access those. Let's quit telling people healthcare is going to get less expensive. But the big picture is this. We do not have a health care crisis in America, Martha. We have a health crisis because 80% of all the dollars we spend on medicine are for chronic disease. We have people who are unhealthy, and that's where the cost is. If you don't address that, I don't care what you do. There is no magic wand, no abracadabra. This system still gets more and more expensive.
So preventative care and...
Preventative care,
you know,
focus
spend
on
money
cures.
On those areas, yeah.
That's right. Put a big focus on moonshot-type approach to the big four things that cost the most. Diabetes, heart, Alzheimer's, and, cancer.
Yep.
Those are the four things that cost the money.
Well, let's see. The governor himself, Mike Huckabee, being a bit, contrarian, I think it's all part of the debate and needs to be considered. Again, if we're a country of, for, and by we the people that promotes self-responsibility, then it comes down to us. I mean, you know, if, and I think this is part of the discussion as well. People are aggravated to say, well, people have made life choices and, they'd much rather have a Twinkie, you know, than to go out and work out and, you know, and they create, a lifestyle problem because of the choices they make. And, is it fair that everybody else pay for the poor choice that you made? And this is all part of it. You know, we don't talk about it at this point, because we haven't quite gotten to that level. But, what the governor is saying is that, he's right. We have a health crisis. And it's self-induced. I mean, we have done this. And this also sets us up, because of this, it sets us up to make choices about a healthcare delivery system that is not necessarily optimal. I mean, we got, if you got healthy people making healthy choices, what does our healthcare delivery system look like versus sick people making choices? And if the governor's right, I mean, where he's talking about 80% of the problem here of people being unhealthy, this is it any wonder that we're going to end up with this very, very expensive proposition? And this is going to be problematic for the Republicans or anybody for this matter that deals with healthcare, because it is expensive. Because the constituency has set themselves up for the delivery of health care. I still maintain I am a strong believer in direct pay, and I think that for those people that can set up their own system, take responsibility, then let's open up the channels that allow them to do this and to be rewarded by the marketplace accordingly. Now, for those that need help, then that's another discussion, and that, again, I like the idea that it's being pushed down to the state level. But looking at it from a federal level, you get this idea of one size fits all. They just can't help themselves, because that's the paradigm in which they operate. it's just not going to be the right solution for us, I believe, in looking to the federal government for an answer.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that?
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information is there. And if you want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Well, our president is nominating some key judges to fill vacancies, and true to form and in the form and fashion of his nomination of Justice Gorsuch, the president is presented a new slate of nominees for the lower federal courts. And here to talk about it is Carrie Severino. Carrie's chief counsel and policy director of the Judicial Crisis Network. Carrie, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Great to be here. I'm excited about these judges.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm hearing this all the way around, but this is true to form. President Trump said, this is what I'm about. Here's who I'm going to select. And he laid out the next group. And, you know, organizations like yourself are very positive about the president's nominations here.
I think that's right. I think we saw the first of it with Justice Gorsuch, and he was such an excellent choice because he's so smart, he's so principled. And then these are all people who kind of along the same line. Many of them, actually two of them, are from the same list that Gorsuch was picked from, so no surprise there. It's really more of the same people who understand the rule of law, who say that judges aren't the ones who make up the law. This is for our elected representatives. Let's have judges be the ones who are just deciding cases. And I think that's exactly what we need in our federal courts.
Well, this has been, Carrie, as you know, this is the dynamic tension that we have in the courts. People that want to, or judges, that want to go along with the Constitution and say the Constitution is the rule of law. What legislators have enacted, that's what they're there to do, is to call balls and strikes on it, not to be activist judges and create laws from the bench. And so this has been a growing issue, and Donald Trump, of all people, has come on the scene and said, no, we're going to right this wrong, and we're going to choose judges that are there to decide on the merits of what's before them, and not form fit their perspective and their will on something in order to be an activist judge.
That's exactly right. And that's why, I mean, this is really a historic election for so many reasons, but the emphasis placed on the judicial branch actually was very unique. Normally, it's not something presidents campaign on as much. I think they should. It's one of the most important things they do. I mean, these judges, when they're confirmed, will be on the bench for life. Mm. They will be interpreting our laws. They'll be interpreting the Constitution, and they're going to have a huge impact. And remember, it's not just the Supreme Court, because upwards of 99% of cases end at these lower courts. The Supreme Court takes very few cases out of all of these. So it's so key to have good people in these places. And Trump actually campaigned on that. He put out a list for his Supreme Court nominees, so you knew it's not just, let's talk about these nice things. Of course, we love the Constitution, whatever. He actually said, this is what it looks like, and then you can really judge. Does he know what he's talking about? Doesn't he? It turns out that he picked some people who really do know the Constitution. So, yes, his team is great at identifying these judges, and that's very exciting because This is, you know, just the first of many. There's 129 vacancies right now.
Yeah, I was going to say what how many we had. I thought it was 140, but 129 vacancies right now. So what kind of impact will this have? Because as we know, the president has run into problems where judges, you know, in terms of interpreting, you know, the power of the president and his ability, of course, on this, you know, this travel ban, this temporary travel ban that's been problematic. And, of course, that came out again yesterday in this Senate hearing with Yates.
Right. And I think that's another thing where, of course, yes, every president's executive orders need to be scrutinized, and you have to have legal analysis of all of these. So it's proper for the courts to look at that. What's not proper is when they start substituting their politics in there for the actual hard work of looking at the law and what are the limits actually on the president. Don't just sit here and try to mine his campaign speeches, find things that you know that you want to criticize. Look at the actual law before you and look at the issues that are really what's really being done, and don't try to make it about the politics of the situation. So, you know, that makes it a challenging situation. But those cases, like so many others, and you think most people, if you're in the middle of a federal court case and you lose at the trial court level, a lot of people don't keep on. They figure we can't afford to keep moving up to the appellate level, or they decide the case has to settle, or after the appeals court, again, 99% don't get taken up by the Supreme Court. So
exactly.
We need to have people making those right decisions all the way down, because we have to have our federal courts giving justice across the board, not just these high-profile cases that make it up to the Supreme Court.
Well, Carrie, certainly you know better than we do. Has there ever been a time where a candidate or now president, his campaign speech has brought into the decision-making process, that has gone before a federal court?
Oh, well, it's the kind of thing that judges do with laws and stuff, but it's something that's really been criticized by people like Justice Scalia. This is something he was very critical of. When you're looking at laws, he said, our laws are what's passed by Congress and signed by the president. It's not what some senator said on the floor, because you've got 500 different senators saying different things. And what really you're bound by are the actual laws on the page. Now, here's a little easier. You don't have 500 presidents. You got one talking. But his policy may have shifted throughout, you know, his own campaign and what he ended up deciding to do with all of the, you know, advice he's gotten may be slightly different than what he said in some speech, you know, 9 months ago. That's not what the law, when he's made an executive order, look at the order, and the words on the page are actually what's going to be applied, not, you know, what someone may have said 9 months ago.
Well, here we are. We're still left vulnerable. I mean, you have an executive order that was executed, and we know that in the previous administration, this was something that they had declared, that we needed to take note of. Now you got a president who comes in and says, okay, we need to, you know, call time out on this. There's enough evidence out there. You talk about campaign information. Well, what about the anecdotal information that came from from Assad? You've got a general recently, a Jordanian general that spoke up and said that the refugee camps are being infiltrated by some 4,000 terrorists. That's not considered by the court?
The kind of things the courts do need to look at. What we have to have is a full trial that looks at all of the facts. So the government has the case that it's making of, here are the reasons we chose these countries, here are the reasons we did it the way we did. And normally you wouldn't immediately jump to saying, oh, well, there's actually some pretextual reason. And so what you should do is hold the same standard to the Trump administration as you hold to other presidential administrations and other kinds of litigants. Unfortunately, I've heard some people on the left explicitly make the argument that, I think there should be a lot of deference to the president in general, but not Donald Trump. That's not how the rule of law works. So
yeah,
you need judges. They don't have to give him a leg up. They should just treat him the same way they would treat any other president. They should treat him the same way they treat another litigant and take their arguments seriously.
And that's why people say, what happened to blind justice, right?
Right. And that's why she's blindfolded. She's not supposed to be, picking her favorites. So I'm excited about these judges because that's exactly what they'll do. They're not going to give the president a pass. They're not going to give him an extra hard time because they don't like him. They're just going to play it straight, and that's what we need.
That's the way. Exactly. I'm right with you. Carrie Severino, thank you so much for being with us. Chief Counsel, Policy Director of the Judicial Crisis Network on Bill Martinez Live, just about 15 minutes right now after the top of the hour.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now, 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now, 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com and let us know your thoughts. You can send me an email. It comes to me direct. NSA approved, I will say. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. James Annell III is with us, Washington Examiner's politics editor, is previously managing editor of the Daily Caller, associate editor of the American Spectator, and senior writer for the American Conservative. James, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Good to be here, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. A little frustrated, I have to admit, along with other conservatives, and you wrote in your column or your article with the Washington Examiner about how frustrated conservatives are over this last budget fight. I mean, you know, no matter what kind of spin the Republicans put on this, I mean, conservatives did not like seeing Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer being happy about the way things came out.
That's right, and that's one of the reasons why the White House brought out Mick Mulvaney, the budget director, a former Freedom Caucus member, strong fiscal conservative in the House, to sort of criticize the Democrats for spiking the football and really push back on the idea that this is a Democratic win, not a win for the Trump administration or the American people. But, you know, this is part of a larger pattern and a part of some long-building frustration that a lot of conservative activists have, in that they're promised that, you know, if they just hold tight right now, there will be some future fight the Republicans will pick with the Democrats later, and then that's when they will actually get their policy victories. But then tomorrow never seems to come. So you have
exactly.
Republicans controlling both houses of Congress. They control the White House. And you see a lot of Democratic funding priorities that are being paid for in this spending agreement. And you have to begin to wonder, and a lot of conservative activists are asking this question, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And Jim, people are frustrated, especially when the GOP leadership comes out and says, well, we weren't supposed to have a shot at this anyway. Well, what do you mean? But you got a shot at it and you failed. And because
right.
you didn't have the gumption and you were all afraid of closing down the government because of what the media was saying. It doesn't matter whether you do it now or as Trump tweeted out, well, we're going to put it all on the line come September. Well, what makes us want to believe and even have any kind of hope that come September, you're going to have more gumption than you could have had right now?
And that's the $1 trillion question is what,
exactly.
what will change in September. And I think that the reluctance on the part of the Republicans was that they thought it would look dysfunctional to control everything and have a government shutdown. This spending bill is not exempt from the filibuster in the way that Obamacare repeal through reconciliation would be. So you need a minimum of 8 Democrats to get it through the Senate. And so they thought they could punt on some of their fights and some of their budget priorities in order to win those Democratic votes. But then they didn't take into consideration how the conservative base would react to that. And they didn't take into consideration how jubilant the Democratic leadership would be that they got so much of what they wanted with unified Republican control of the federal government.
You know, it's amazing. Here it is. You have a winning party looking like losers. And, you know, what's at the core? What's the core issue here, Jim, as you're seeing it?
Well, I think the core issue is just, can Republicans govern? Can they play this game? I mean, they have everything that they ran and asked for. They got all the power. I mean, yes, obviously, they don't have a filibuster-proof Senate majority, you know, and obviously, they don't have, you know, the biggest House majority, historically speaking, but it's solid enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much more power do you give Republicans in exchange for what results? I think that's mm-hmm. what conservatives are really asking themselves.
Well, I think what they're starting to see here, and tell me if I'm wrong, is you've got the Democrats. They've been one thing you can hand to the Democrats. It doesn't matter. They're pretty well lockstep. They've got the party hymnal, and that's the book and the chapter and verse they sing from. They're very consistent
right.
that way, no matter what the situation. But with the Republicans, you've got, you know, 3-4 groups that bifurcate the Republican Party. So now it's not that we just have two parties. We have the Democrats, and then you got 4 versions of the Republicans. Is that fair?
Yeah, it seems like whatever happens, no matter how big the Republicans' majorities are, no matter how much power they have in Washington, there's always just enough people who will defect to prevent some major conservative priority from coming together. Whereas the Democrats, you know, and in fairness, the Democrats have often had much bigger congressional majorities than the Republicans have had. But, you know, they can let some of their centrists walk. They can let some of their less liberal members take a no vote on something. But they still have just the right number of votes to pull their legislation over the finish line.
Well, what is it going to take for the Republicans? Do they have to just finally exercise some intestinal fortitude and just kind of whatever they need to do, including therapy, to realize that they just can't flinch anymore? Is that possible?
You know, the Democrats, whatever you want to say about them, were willing to lose their congressional majorities in order to pass Obamacare. And they did lose those majorities. I mean, it took a little while to lose the Senate, but they ultimately did. Lost the House immediately in the very next election. You know, but they have Obamacare to show for it, and they have a much larger government role in our health care system as something to show for it. And
right.
Republicans, you know, are going to pay a price at the ballot box if they can't do anything, but will they have anything to show for it? Are Republicans willing to risk their majorities to repeal Obamacare and to defend a free market vision of health care, as the Democrats were willing to sacrifice politically to defend a government-centric view of health care? And so far, the answer doesn't look very promising.
Right. And you bring up an excellent point here, Jim, and that is what the Democrats were willing to put on the line. You know, give up the majority in the House and the Senate for Obamacare. And this is why Chris Coons, Senator Coons, is doing everything he can to try to work with the Republicans and put out a narrative out there saying, hey, we're here. We want to talk about saving Obamacare. We're willing to meet them in the middle here. But if you bring up repeal and replace, then that's it's a non-starter because they're fighting for their very political lives on this issue, right?
Well, the bottom line is that Obamacare is presently constituted can't work. The exchanges, especially the individual markets, the individual health insurance market, the exchanges are failing. And insurers are beginning to leave, and there are problems of access, there are problems of cost. Those problems are going to have to be dealt with one way or the other. They can be dealt with on the Republicans' terms and trying to create better functioning markets in health insurance, or they can be dealt with on Democratic terms, which is moving us closer to a single-payer health care system, you know, moving us to a more government-controlled system than even prevails under Obamacare. Republicans really don't have the option of just punting on this. This is going to be solved one way or the other, and if Republicans don't solve it, it's going to be solved entirely on Democratic terms.
They're really, in a lot of ways, the only way they can win is they have to solve this problem, because if they just sit back and let it implode, they're going to be blamed for it. At this point, they've picked up the ball, they picked up the mess that was created by the Democrats, and the way the voter politic is going to look at it in the media is going to say, hey, look at the approval ratings of Obamacare right now, even though all these things, you know, are happening, which was projected to occur, no big surprise here, imploding on itself, it's, you know, code blue, they're bringing out the battles and everything, and they can't get a heartbeat on this thing, but still, it's going to be, you know, up to the Republicans. It's almost like they have no choice but to, you know, come up with a plan, don't they?
Well, I mean, even once you introduce a bill, you're taking a certain amount of ownership. So their inability to pass a bill, even though they have the White House and they have both houses of Congress, gives them some responsibility for what happens next on health care. Even if they didn't create the plan, the bill that's imploding right now, they have an opportunity to do something different and have thus far failed to do so.
Right. Well, James, as always, appreciate your insight here. James Antle III, Washington Examiner's politics editor, on the issue of frustrated conservatives. Boy, they're way past due to start winning under Trump, aren't they?
Absolutely, and they're really eagerly waiting for it to start.
Exactly. Jim, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Be encouraged, America. It is time that we all join in and get activated if we're going to get this country back on track. And it starts with the truth. You know, when we were kids growing up, it was Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. And those facts are still important today. And in the absence of those facts, opinion reigns. And that's what's been happening. And this gives entry to fake news and all the other stuff that knocks us off course. Chris Gobbets right now is with us. He posed as a Muslim convert and then as an intern with Hamas Organization Council on American Islamic Relations. That is CARE. He did this in Virginia in 2007. He was then invited by Hamas CARE leaders to work at their headquarters office in Washington, D.C. The entire story can be found in the book Muslim Mafia, which is available via the Understanding the Threat online store. Chris is now the vice president at Understanding the Threat. Chris Gobbets, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, good to have you back to talk about, you know, your insight. And if we can, revisit a little bit of what you went through as an insider there, you know, posing as a Muslim convert. What was the big takeaway for you from that experience?
Well, the big takeaway was that in the Holy Land Foundation trial, which was the largest terrorism financing and Hamas trial in U.S. history, they identified CARE as a Muslim Brotherhood group, specifically Hamas. And part of the evidence in that trial was what's called the explanatory memorandum, which the Muslim Brotherhood's documents state they are waging civilization jihad to destroy America from within. And what I found while I was working undercover at CARE was that they are doing that on a daily basis whether it's working on Capitol Hill to influence judiciary committees and homeland security committees and intelligence committees, or whether it's working at the grassroots level. They are doing this day in and day out, and they're unrelenting in their war against America when it comes to civilization jihad.
Well, anything American, certainly the democratic way of life, if they can upend democracy in this country, wow, I mean, what happens then?
Well, what happens then is what you're seeing take place right now with them marrying up with the hard-left Marxist socialist groups, whether it's George Soros-funded groups like Black Lives Matter or the DNC itself. They know that they need help to have their revolution here in America, and the way that they see having this revolution is to work with these hard-left Marxist groups. They disagree on how they'll rebuild, but where they agree is that they need to tear the system down.
Exactly.
And that's why they're working with these groups.
The enemy of my enemy, right?
That's right.
It's this coming back into play once again. And, of course, we see this being played out. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that these revolutionaries are all dressed in black. Is that symbolic of CARE?
Well, I mean, look, CARE is a we call them suit-wearing jihadis, but they'll work at the ground level with anybody that'll help them advance their goals. So, yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. But keep in mind, anything that advances the jihad, and 100% of authoritative Islamic law defines jihad as warfare against non-Muslims. So anything that advances their jihad, which they see as total warfare, whether it's working with media legislators or whether it's riots at the ground level, whatever advances the jihad is fair game.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, you know, having been exposed to the underbelly of this movement and this commitment, this jihad, and now you're seeing it played out, you know, it's consistent. Some might say subtle, but for you, it's rather obvious. I imagine this is like, you know, chalk on the chalkboard in the wrong direction, where you just hear screeching nails every time you see this, because this is so obvious to you. And but yet our government, particularly in this last administration, seemed to embrace it all the more.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's several facets to that. But you're right, it's obvious. Anybody that understands this enemy understands that everything that we're seeing, whether it's a terrorist attack, and then immediately CARE officials get on TV and saying this has nothing to do with Islam, or whether it's influencing legislators so that they never identify the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. All of this comes into play, and it's easy to see. And yet, one of their biggest victories in all of this is working with legislators and leaders at the national level, all the way down to the local level, so that they never even identify who our enemy is.
Exactly.
I mean, we're 15 years after 9/11. We still haven't identified who we're fighting against.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's a big victory.
Right. When you talk about CARE, you say they need to be acknowledged as a terrorist organization. You say it was created in 1994 by the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood's Palestinian Committee, which is Hamas in the United States. That's pretty clear, as you see it, and as you've been reporting, and others as well have been reporting on this. Chris, what's wrong with our country that we cannot see a clear and present danger?
Well, there's a lot of things wrong right now. One of the big things is that, you know, Sun Tzu, if anybody's read Sun Tzu, or even if you haven't read it, most people are familiar with the phrase, if you know your enemy and know yourself, you'll be victorious in 100 battles. If you don't know your enemy and you don't know yourself, then you'll lose 100 battles. And I would argue that in America right now, we don't know our founding principles. We don't know who we are as a nation. We don't know what our laws are based on. And we certainly don't know and haven't identified our enemy. So that is just a recipe for disaster. Look, one of the things we learned in the Trump movement this past November is that Americans, there are millions of Americans that know something's wrong and they want their leadership to take care of the problem. That to me gives me hope, but we're still a long way away from actually turning this ship around. And it, I would argue that November was just the beginning. All of the millions of Americans that voted and got involved and knew something was wrong or wanted this country turned around have to be more diligent now than they were when they went to the voting booths.
We have to meet the passion and pressure being applied by CARE, as you say, Chris. They're nonstop. They're tireless toward their agenda. And right now, they see America very vulnerable. They see the opportunity quite right for them. I know they're threatened by Donald Trump a bit because he's exposing them and there is some pushback. But what has to happen here, I know you say that most Americans, they thought, well, you know, if they go and they turn it over to Trump and a new administration, that maybe their job is done. But we've got ground to make up here. And we need activated citizens who are going to be just as passionate for this republic as CARE is passionate for, you know, their agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, President Trump could do everything right from this point on when it comes to this war, and it's still going to be won or lost at the state and local level.
Mm-hmm.
That is the bottom line, and that's why in understanding the threat, what we do is train law enforcement, you know, sheriffs, and we work with pastors because we feel like in order for sheriffs to do their job, they need to know that the citizenry backs them up.
Exactly.
And when the sheriff wants to dismantle a jihadi network in their county, they need to know the citizens back them up. And the best way to do that is to have pastors speaking truthfully about this from the pulpit.
Well, you know, but everybody needs to be in hand. And, of course, certainly with what happened recently last week with President Trump's executive order that took the shackles off the pastors and is allowing them to, you know, speak to these issues, you know, maybe a little bit more freely. Where heretofore, they said they, you know, they may see this as a political issue, but it's much more pernicious than this. And that is that we're grateful that Christians came out in record numbers in November to lead the way to this revolution that's taken place. But this is just the beginning. You know, the fight has just begun. And as you say, Chris, it starts with acknowledging who the enemy is. And we've got to get out of this, you know, this politically correct perspective that is blinding us to the truth and the reality of who we're fighting against. Chris Govitz is with us, Vice President of Understanding the Threat. This is Bill Martinez Live. We've got more coming up with Chris.
Hello, I'm Dr. Chira Curry, a board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. Every day, I see many patients whose lives would be enriched by hearing aids, but who simply cannot afford the thousands of dollars needed to pay for them. I made it my mission to find a way to manufacture medical-grade, affordable hearing aids. Working with other doctors and audiologists, I developed the MD Hearing Aid Air, which costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-416-1526 to speak with one of their trained specialists. Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aid's affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-416-1526. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-416-1526.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Emails direct. NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome back, America. Our conversation with Chris Gavitz continues. Chris posed as a Muslim convert and then as an intern with the Hamas Organization Council on American Islamic Relations CARE in Virginia in 2007, then went on to join up with Hamas and CARE and their group in their headquarters in Washington, D.C. His story is documented in the book Muslim Mafia, which is available on Understanding the Threat Online Store. Chris, we were talking about the threats that just keep on emerging. CARE is relentless. Hamas is relentless in the pursuit of their agenda. They see America as being highly vulnerable. They probably got checkmated a bit with the new administration that is taking this threat seriously. But as you say, Chris, it's nonstop. I mean, there are threats abounding. I mean, and it's no longer existential. It is within the boundaries, walls or no walls, of this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they're so relentless that even just last week or the week before, CARE complained. Now, remember, when I say CARE, this is a Hamas organization. Hamas is a designated foreign terrorist organization by the U.S. State Department. And they complained to the Pentagon about the Air Force's Special Operations Anti-Terrorism Training, saying that it was offensive to Muslims. Now, that's not surprising that Hamas would do that. What is surprising is that the Pentagon went back and had the Air Force review the anti-terrorism training and to make sure that it's not insensitive to Muslims. So we're actually having Hamas advise us and tell us how to do anti-terrorism. And so, again, even though this is a new administration, the tentacles are so deep that they're still having influence.
Mm-hmm. Well, without a doubt. I mean, how involved are they with the rejection of this travel ban that they have been happy to lead the banner that it's a Muslim ban, and as such, it's a religious offense. And of course, we have activist judges that are doing everything they can to, leave us all the more exposed.
Yeah, I mean, one of the plaintiffs, it's so direct that one of the plaintiffs from Hawaii, where that judge issued that ban, mm-hmm. Was or issued that order halting the executive order, was the mosque that he's from there in Hawaii is owned by the North American Islamic Trust, which the Department of Justice identified as a Muslim Brotherhood organization. So they've got their fingers in all the pies where they are literally working and actively opposing anything that we do to protect ourselves. And, of course, they would. They're jihadis.
Yes. Well, Chris, you know, if the international community acknowledges the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, as a terrorist organization, what is wrong with our State Department?
Oh, boy, we've got a long way to go. We really do. Yeah. You know, State Department, there were several people within the State Department that that put together a letter that was issued from Rex Tillerson to the president, you know, saying that it would be, quote unquote, problematic to identify the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization because those within the State Department argued that the Muslim Brotherhood is democratic in some places. I just have to laugh because, yeah, again, what I said earlier about the jihad, anything that advances the jihad to establish an Islamic state, they will use, so including democracy. Muslim Brotherhood came into power in Egypt under President Morsi through democracy. But then he suspended the Constitution and was really close to instituting an Islamic Republic under Sharia right there shortly thereafter. So they'll use whatever they can. That doesn't make them any less a terrorist organization.
Well, we are so unwound here, Chris. I mean, it's never ending. I was just reading this AP report. I happen to be on the West Coast, so, you know, things that are California somehow get my attention because I'm back in the area where I was born and raised. But I see this headline presented by the AP. It says California may end ban on communists in government jobs. I go, wait, did I miss a negative here? Where is this? No. And I had to read it several times to understand what's going on. So being a communist, as AP writes, would no longer be a fireable offense for California government employees under a bill passed Monday by the state assembly. So it's good to be a communist in California now.
Yeah, so we got that going for us, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
it never stops. I mean, it never stops.
Well, as you say, we're wide open. We have known from, from history, as soon as America declared its independence and set up this great American experiment, we have been taking shots, you know, over the bow of our boat forever. And that will continue to be that shining light that Ronald Reagan talked about. We have adversaries that are doing everything they can to squash that light. Some would say it's been dimmed, but not out. And, you know, if it's going to continue, if we're going to be renewed as a country, then it's going to be because we, the people, have gotten behind it and have joined as one to make it so, because we've taken our eye off the ball. And whether it's CARE or whether it's communist or some other nefarious group that's looking to do away with this republic, you know, and you think, you know, Chris, I think about the impact that it could have not only in this country but around the world if America was no more. And I think that there was a movie to that effect. You know, imagine if, you know, a world without America, Dinesh D'Souza's movie.
Yeah. No, look, these are formidable enemies. And when I say formidable in the sense that they are winning this war right now, if it was just the jihadi groups by themselves, if we ever turn around and actually identify them and create a strategy to defeat them, they can be defeated. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think we could win.
Right.
When you've got the communists and the hard left Marxist socialists, also working to destroy the country, and they have for generations, starting in our schools. And then you've got those two groups working together. Boy, we better get our act together, and we better be working real hard, or we really could lose this republic.
Well, without a doubt. And, Chris, you know, I'd mentioned to you earlier about this other report that comes from the Daily Mail, and they're reporting that a Muslim nation has opened the first concentration camp since Hitler. And this is in Chechnya. a small Muslim country of 1.2 million, which notoriously produced the Boston Marathon bombers, as people will recall, is making some staggering claims here. Chechnya has opened the first concentration camp for homosexuals since Hitler, where campaigners say gay men are being tortured with electric shocks and beaten to death.
Yeah. And you know what? The scary thing is, is that all of this is authorized under Islamic law. This isn't anything that is not authorized under Sharia. And so whether it's in Chechnya, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Minneapolis, Sharia is Sharia. Now, whether it's being adhered to fully, that's where you get these disparities between different regions. But understand, the goal is always to fully implement Sharia, and that's what every region where there are jihadis, that's always what they're working towards, whether it's the Muslim Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda or jihadis in Chechnya. That's always the goal, to fully implement Sharia.
Well, Martin Niemöller, a prominent Protestant pastor, right at the end of the 19th century, who emerged as an outspoken public foe of Adolf Hitler and spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps, is probably best remembered for this quotation, and you can see that it has application today. He famously wrote, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." Once again, history repeating itself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we really need to start approaching this from a prayerful perspective, mm-hmm. and do our part, whatever we can, whatever role we play, to fight this evil, or we will lose.
Well, this is why, you know, we are so committed, Chris, and I know as you are as well, in understanding the threat as an organization, in pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. If we delude ourselves and we do not want to admit that evil exists and it's right before us, they're going to have their way. And, you know, sadly, this is what's been happening. It started ever so gently. You know, we hear about that analogy again of the frog in the boiling water. It didn't start that way. It started out very comfortable, very cozy and casual. And now here we are, and the water is boiling around us and we're getting cooked alive. And I'm thinking, you know, it grieves me to think about what kind of America are we turning over to our kids and our grandkids?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, we've got so much work to do. You know, we're willing to do our part. I know you're willing to do your part, speaking truthfully about these issues. But for all of the people listening, you know, we need you in this war. Get involved whatever way that you can to help, whether it's getting more involved with your show. You can go to our website, understandingthethreat.com, sign up for our newsletter, find a way to get involved, to speak the truth.
Exactly.
We don't have much to pass on.
Well, knowledge is power, and we live in an information age, and there's no excuse anymore, ladies and gentlemen. You need to be aware of what's going on. Chris Gobetz, Vice President of Understanding the Threat, make sure you go to the online store for a copy of his book, Muslim Mafia. Chris, as always, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate the insight and the encouragement, buddy.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Are you